This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Chasing the Ceiling, Committee Backfields, and Lessons Learned from Baseball Betting with Frank Amirante. And he is of thegameday.com and the Fantasy Jones podcast. And one of my favorite resources for Major League Baseball betting, and also for some fantasy slants there on a regular basis. But I always wonder, you know, kind of you have so many hats. And how has Major League Baseball and covering the sport, how has that helped you and kind of paired well with fantasy football, being an analyst and a player yourself?
Well, first of all, thanks a lot for having me on the show, but I'll get right into it. The way fantasy baseball and baseball betting's helped me with fantasy football, for one, you know, if a player has put up strong production in the past, if the price is right in a draft, you should still give them a chance. And a good example of this in baseball is with Tigers pitcher Jack Flaherty, who maybe about 3 years ago, he was a frontline starter. He dealt with injuries. He struggled returning from injury. Really wasn't it for a while. Then he went to the Tigers this year. He has a great pitching coach, and he's really popped off and hit a ceiling that you wouldn't really, that kind of upside for pitching, you wouldn't really find that late in the draft of what Jack Flaherty is doing. So in taking that learning into fantasy football, you can think like, yes, this veteran has had a couple down years, or maybe he's in his late 20s, but he's going at the end of drafts, and maybe I give him a shot. Maybe you could apply this example to last year with Adam Thielen with the Panthers. You know, a lot of people, including myself, honestly, I thought he was pretty much at the tail end of his career. I mean, he is, but I thought he was like cooked, right, so to speak. But he produced. So if the price is right and they've done it in the past, they put up production, you can give them a chance. And that's one thing I take from baseball into football.
Yeah, what do you think about the how do you adjust from baseball is literally like 24/7? Like, you have to be covering it in terms of inactives, lineups, the injury report, all of that, and it's a daily thing. It's an hourly thing. And football has more of a rhythm on a weekly basis. Now we're getting more Friday games and Saturday and Wednesday, and they're going to eventually take over every day of the week in a given season. We're headed there. What do you find in terms of the timing? Do you find like football is relaxing by comparison, you know, covering that and following along? Or is it just, you know, there's a lot more information, but it's a denser time period in which you get it?
Yeah, so football, like you said, it's good because you could establish that routine throughout the week. You know, you write a waiver wire column, let's say you look into that like on Monday and
Monday, Tuesday,
early in the week. I don't know why I was drawing a blank there. But then I make rankings too, and then I'm doing that like Tuesday, Wednesday. So it's very structured and a routine, like you said. Whereas fantasy baseball, you know, there's not as much during the week. I'll do a weekly waiver wire. A lot of leagues I play in are weekly, where you do the weekly pickups. So it's similar in that sense. You do it on a Sunday. And then I rank the closers as a page that I do for the game day, and that's once a week too. But to your point about daily, like, I'm posting bets every day. Honestly, it's definitely a grind, but I really love the research and, you know, trying to exploit matchups between pitchers and teams. And so definitely I would say fantasy baseball is more of a grind, and fantasy football is more manageable, which is why I think, to football being, you know, just so crazy popular, the fact that it's more easily manageable is why it's more popular, I would say.
I think anyone that follows you with your timeline on Twitter/X, one of the mantras, and I kind of put it in the intro there, is chase the ceiling. And that would be something I would apply to you, that a lot of your thinking is, you know, in terms of your draft or your player selection, it's about who has the biggest ceiling, who has the biggest reward, because everybody else doesn't really move the needle. Is there a player at each position? Just kind of like, if we were to put like a Frank, you know, Mount Rushmore of like who that represents, it could have been someone from last year, some historical season that really kind of fit what you were thinking in your analysis or the outcome that actually occurred. But what, like, from each skill position, is there someone that kind of fits Frank, you know, in terms of that chase the ceiling kind of moniker?
Yeah, for sure. I will say one for first before getting into that is I wasn't always like this. I just decided it this year that I'm just going to be swinging for the fences and just prioritizing ceiling. I mean, I did it in the past, but I would be deterred with certain factors with certain players. Good example, Breece Hall last year. For me, I was like, yeah, he's got all the talent. He's an all-around back. He's a great in the passing game, but coming off that significant knee injury, are we going to see him at full throttle? Are we going to see him at full speed? So even though he's going like fifth, sixth round, I didn't really attack him
You talked yourself
constantly.
out of it.
Like I took him on one team. I do a few teams, bunch of teams, just to get like, just to avoid that fear of missing out, that FOMO kind of thing if he pops off. But if I put this year's mindset into last, I would be taking him several spots because you're getting Breece Hall like fifth, sixth round, like I said. And if it all breaks right, you may be getting, like he was down the stretch, an RB1 and just producing at a really high level. But going back to your question, at each position, for this year, I focused it on. So for quarterback, let's start with Anthony Richardson. You know, he's only played, what, like four games last year, but he's still drafted quite high. And that's because of his ceiling, of course, his rushing upside. He's going to have a major role in the red zone. And the coach, Shane Steichen, looks like a stud. So you add all that together, I think Anthony Richardson is worth targeting, even at the premium price, just because if it breaks right, you have, you know, a double-digit touchdown score on the ground with a quarterback. Going on to running back, Devon Achane fits this bill in that he's priced up because of his ceiling. But if you're projecting like a median outcome with Devon Achane, you know, Raheem Mostert led the way in that backfield last year. What if HN is still just that kind of, you know, supporting player, complementary piece where he's kind of inconsistent unless they're blowing the team out or if Mostert gets hurt? But if it breaks right, we saw those kind of big games he has. He's got elite speed, just a really high weekly ceiling. We saw those spike weeks. So if you take an HN there in the second, third round, you could just cover yourself a bit by, you know, maybe having more running back depth on that team or something like that. But he would fit the running back bill.
Or taking Mostert, right? It's Mostert's not super expensive either.
Yeah, exactly. Another perfect example that fits this in the high ceiling but feels risky at how high they go at right receiver, Malik Nabers. So, stud prospect at the position, went high in the draft, lands on a Giants team with just a wide open target opportunity. People could be deterred because, hey, this is a rookie and Daniel Jones isn't, obviously it's erratic quarterback play with the Giants. But if Malik Nabers, if it all breaks right with his big play ability and with his target opportunity, you know, he could produce top 12 receiver numbers. Now, you may say a rookie, it's harder for a rookie receiver to do that, but in recent years, is really where we've started to see rookie receivers produce at a high level immediately. And they may not do it for the entire season, but let's say the last 6 weeks, they might produce at a top five level. When so you could think of it in the season and sort of segment it that way that, yeah, maybe this rookie, I'm taking him high and he might not produce early on. It might take him some time, but down the stretch, he could really be popping off like Malik Nabers. So he fits that ceiling bill. And to finish it off at tight end, we could go with, you know, we do this every year, but we got to do it again. It's Kyle Pitts. And just because 1,000 yards as a rookie, stud prospect coming out of college now, no more Arthur Smith. Kirk Cousins is there. Presumably, Pitts is healthier than last year because I know Pitts dealt with some injuries. Falcons should pass more. So Pitts is worth a look. I believe he goes like sixth round, and he's that type of all ceiling pick for tight end.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, two I wrote down. I was going to predict Frank's picks, and Richardson and Achan were definitely on the list of predict what the expert's going to say there. I wanted to ask about over in the Pittsburgh Steelers backfield, Jalen Warren versus Najee Harris. So this is one that everyone keeps clamoring like it's Zeke versus Tony Pollard. They go, Jalen Warren's the better running back. Why is he not getting more work? Najee Harris is horrible. And this is a backfield where both guys are affordable, yet not extraneously cheap, I would say. And it's an important one because if one's out, the other could roll entirely. But what's your take on this backfield that potentially Russell Wilson in, Arthur Smith in, there's a potentially a lot of value here?
Yeah, so I did a tweet recently that I said if Jalen Warren missed time, Najee Harris would probably be, you know, I don't think he'd be what he was as a rookie, that like RB1, but he'd be like maybe high end RB2, maybe like in the 14-15 range of running backs, I would say. But if Jalen Warren, if Najee Harris missed time, Jalen Warren, I think, would go like top five. Like, he could produce at a top five level just because of his receiving ability, and he's more explosive than Najee. Having said that, I do like both of them because I feel like Najee Harris has good touchdown upside. You know, Jalen Warren will make an impact in the passing game. Like you said, Arthur Smith is there. As much as he's criticized, including from me, Arthur Smith is good at putting a running game together. The Steelers' offensive line is improved. And I think Russell Wilson in that situation could be a rock-solid game manager. So I do like both of these running backs, Najee and Warren, in fantasy. But if I'm trying to swing for the fence, I would rather go with Jalen Warren.
Offhand, are there any other running backs that it looks kind of like a committee, but you have that same sort of take in terms of, hey, neither one's going to be overly value if they're both healthy, but if one goes out, there's certainly a big edge as opposed to vice versa. Is there any others that you can think of offhand?
Well, I do like the Titans backfield with Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears. I think Spears, you could argue, has more upside because what he showed last season. Although I like, it's kind of similar with Najee and Warren. I like both. And originally, earlier in the offseason, I'm like, maybe I prefer Pollard over Spears because Pollard will likely score more. But I feel like Spears has the higher ceiling because he's younger. He showed that juice last year. You know, I do like both. I like what the Titans did on offense. I like Brian Callahan. I think he'll be a good coach. I really like how they brought in Ridley, and they really are surrounding Will Levis with a lot of talent. So I'm a fan of that committee. If I'm looking at also another one, like Zach Charbonnet in Seattle, seems like Kenneth Walker always has some kind of nagging injury, and Charbonnet could be that all-around back, catch a few passes, score touchdowns here and there. He's worth a look, too. Blake Corum, I look at, I don't think the Rams will be a committee like others may think. Like, they may not think it's a committee, but they may think Corum could take a chunk out of Kyren's workload. I feel like that's just insurance, the pick of Blake Corum for Kyren Williams. And I think Corum is a good pick as strictly as a handcuff, and don't expect, like, you're not going to be starting him. He's just there. Maybe if you took Kyren Williams, you want that insurance, or maybe you want that lottery ticket if Kyren were to miss time.
You think the chase the ceiling moniker, does that apply to Kyren Williams? There's a lot of people down on him. Like you just said, they're projecting a committee when really Sean McVay has been a workhorse guy. And week one, I mean, we would expect a strong workload for Kyren Williams, and durability would mainly be the biggest concern is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan for sure of Williams. You know, Kyren Williams, he's fallen to like the third round in drafts right now, I've seen on Underdog, because people are just, the mindset is, I'll take a receiver here and I'll just draft Blake Corum later and hope that works out. But like you said, I think Kieran Williams will be the workhorse, especially early on. What I do think is that McVay and the Rams looked at it as, last year when Kieran Williams missed time, the Rams were below 500 and their offense was nowhere near the same. They had to sign Darrell Henderson off the street. They had a committee with him and Royce Freeman. They wanted to avoid that. So they got their insurance in quorum, and I think they'll continue to lead on Kieran Williams. And hey, if it breaks right for him, you get him in the third round. He put up like what? Almost like 19 half PPR points per game.
He
Crazy
was the only guy
production.
that challenged Christian McCaffrey. Oh, the only one that really could last year. So it's yeah, I mean, if you're getting close to that from the third round, no.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a big fan of Kieran at that cost.
One thing I found, and one thing I do is I look at dynasty valuations versus redraft. And the thing that struck me looking at some redraft stuff for the first time, hey, it's June. I'm not a redraft degenerate, like a lot of people where they already have 30 drafts under their books. They're building their portfolio out from March. But Dallas running backs, they're both outside running back 40 or so. So you got Zeke, you've got Rico Dowdle, and it's got to break right for one of them, correct? I mean, like one of them at minimum is going to return value here. They're both valued beyond the top 32. So talk me in or out of this in terms of are you in on one guy versus the other? They're relatively close in price. And what way do you think this is kind of going to go?
Yeah, that's a great point you're making because let's face it, the Cowboys offense is going to continue being among the most high scoring in the NFL. So what does that mean? Lots of touchdown opportunities in this backfield. And what is Zeke still good at? It's in short yardage and in scoring touchdowns. And I think Zeke could, sort of have that Gus Edwards type of season where he scores 10 to 12 touchdowns like Edwards did last year. And makes an impact in the red zone. Dallas struggled running the ball in the red zone last year with Tony Pollard. I think that's their thinking here. Let's bring back Zeke. Now we address that. Now I know Zeke is getting older and Rico Dowdle has more juice. I could see the argument why you would prefer Dowdle, and I'm cool with taking Dowdle. I like him too. I just really think Zeke is a great bet to just find the end zone like at least 10 times, and that could be valuable where he's taken in drafts. So I'm going to lean Zeke over Dowdle. But like you said, they're both undervalued. It's a great offense. Both are good targets.
Yeah, the two things we care about, right, are short range touchdown possibilities and then passing game work. And you figure Zeke is going to be trusted with pass protection. He may not be as dynamic in that dump off game as he was 5 years ago, but if he gets some decent volume as a receiver and he gets cracks to score a touchdown per game, it seems hard to believe that he wouldn't finish in the top 20 or so for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I mean, look at last year. We just saw Raheem Mostert score like 18 touch. Like, did anyone see that coming at in his age 32 season? Like, you never know if the running back's in a great offense and he's trusted. Like you said, like I think Zeke will be given his familiarity with the team, of course. Yeah, I'm in.
When you look at someone's timeline, you can kind of see how busy of a person they are, Frank. And honestly, like with your betting and baseball coverage for now, I'm imagining in 2 months it's going to transition a little bit over as we get to football season. As you said, it kind of takes over. There's a transitionary period in September, October. But Frank Amorante, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents. Where can folks find you, and what do you have up to? Can't mention everything, but what are some of the highlight things in terms of the content you produce and where folks can find said content?
Yeah, so you could find my work at the game day. I'll put fantasy football rankings as we continue throughout the off season, and I put up a weekly fantasy football rankings during the season. I did well with Fantasy Pros last year, finished sixth overall in accuracy, so you can look out for that. And always, I'll be tweeting out more content of player takes, players I want to target. It just this year I made more of an effort to not start football too early. I wanted to do better in fantasy baseball because I felt like that took a hit in terms of my teams that I drafted. So that's the reason you mostly see baseball for now. But then as we get closer to the season, I become really intensely into football. So look out for that. And thanks for
we're
having
gonna
me.
we're gonna suck Frank in. You know, by the time we get to August, we get some preseason action going on. It's tough to stop that train
Oh,
from
yeah.
leaving the station. So, but for now, again, any interest you have in baseball, check out Frank's timeline here. Once I, as I said, thanks for your time and talents coming on as always. I am Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those passes.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.